Welcome to the GPS Training Podcast, the monthly podcast keeping you up to date with everything in the world of outdoor GPS navigation.
Welcome to the GPS Training Podcast. It's our 96th episode, our May edition. I'm again joined by Andy, my co-host, tech support guru and crazy trainer for the spine race, Andy. How are you keeping, Andy?
Yep, I'm good, thank you.
Have you been up to much over the last month?
Just back-to-back hit classes, hit class, hit class, and hit class. That's all I do. Eat and sleep hit classes.
There you go. And how are the hit classes then?
I don't like burpees, but other than that, they're okay.
So you feel a lot better for in all this exercise?
Yeah, constant hit classes is the way to go.
Very good.
So I've been out, you know, like normal running and hiking and other things, but I think I mentioned in probably the last couple of podcasts doing these regular hit classes after work in an evening, I think it's just helping with strength the legs for that little thing that we're both training for in June.
You've got a few more feet to climb than what I have, which is good. So get the training in. In this month's GPS training podcast, we're going to discuss the Spot Gen 4, the satellite communicator and tracker. We're going to discuss the Garmin backpack tether. Has your cord become frayed? Then we'll have a quick chat about our free OS planner. Because I've said many thanks, a number of you have been donating towards that, which is very much appreciated. And then finally, we have Andy's top tips. So the first thing on this month's GPS training podcast is a Spot Gen 4 satellite communicator tracker. So this has been out, Andy, for a number of years now. We've had various models of it, and the Gen 4 is the most recent model. I think quickly we need to explain what it is. And I suppose it's kind of burst back onto the scene with what's gone on with the Motorola Defy satellite link. It's kind of brought out that budget end of the tracking and communication market, like blown a bit open, and therefore the Spot Gen 4 has naturally moved back into that place. So quickly, Andy, what is it? And a quick overview of it initially.
So the Spot Gen 4 is a device really for someone if you're going off the beaten track where you may have no mobile signal and you want a means of friends and family, I think mainly to sort of track you, see where you are, and just maybe send some regular check-in messages to let them know you're okay. And of course, in emergency, like a lot of these satellite messaging devices we sell, the most important thing, it's got an SOS button that goes to a monitoring station that can then see where you are and send help. You know, let's just say it was in the UK and you're at the top of a hillside, they know exactly where you are, and the monitoring station, it's the focus point, will get in touch with the UK Coast Guard, who would then get in touch with mountain rescue, police, etc. All done via the Starlink satellite system, so it's not using any mobile data or mobile connection. Now the Spot 4, Gen 4, it is a what we call a one-way satellite communicator. You can send out quick short messages and check-in messages and SOS, but you don't receive any messages back other than confirmation LEDs on the device to show that your messages have been sent.
So it comes in at, well, $139.99, so it's quite a cheap product. That's why I say it's that end of the marketplace. But as Andy rightly said, this is because it's one-way satellite communication, where all the other products we've been talking about has been two-way satellite communication. That's a key feature, isn't it?
Yeah, you can't type in your own messages. It's not like linked to an app where you can send someone a typed individual message. It's basically before you go on your trips, you set up check-in messages and what they call a custom message, and even something called a help message, where you don't need SOS, but you're basically telling the contacts that you're sending it to that you want some help. It could, you would arrange before you do a trip what you want them to do if they got that message. But once you're out and about and you're in the field and you've got no mobile data to log in and change things, you can't change what those messages are, and they're all done just by button presses on the unit, the same as the SOS. So it is a one way. But I think the big thing for me is it's the tracking. When we go into a bit more detail about the subscriptions, what makes this low cost is there's other devices that you could argue are better with the messaging. They maybe don't cost an awful lot more, and you can be more flexible with messaging and actually type messages and receive messages back, whether it be on an app or directly on the unit. But I think this is more giving someone something a bit simpler, doesn't have all the bells and whistles, But if you want to, if tracking's your big thing, you want friends and family to be able to track you on a regular basis, you know, 5 minute, 10 minute, 30 minute or 60 minute intervals. It's very low cost for that side of things for me.
Yeah, and I suppose that nicely brings us on to the price of the contracts, as all the devices need a contract next to them. So again, I'll talk about a little bit about what we've done regarding contracts. So we contacted Spot and we've had quite a few Zoom meetings with them. And what we've managed to get for the month of May is, well, May and June, sorry, it is.
So the end of June,
Is we've actually managed to get a 20% discount on activation and also on their annual plans. So normally it'd be, with the activation and the plan, it would be £215.52 per year. But we've managed to reduce that for the first year to £172.42. And then the tracker, the tracker's normally £149.99, it's come down to £139.99. But as Andy said, the key thing is it's great tracking. We can track now 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes and 60 minutes. So really for £172 for that year, which is the activation and the first year contract, we've got sending the preset messages and also the tracking, where we compare that to other products on the marketplace. If you want the tracking, off the top of my head, we'll be talking mid £250, something along those lines.
I mean, one of the other makes we sell, if you want tracking points not to be charged and be free, let's just say a track every 10 minutes, you're looking round about, if you sign up for a yearly contract, about £26 a month. So if someone's just looking at the spot for and looking at the normal monthly amounts, they may look at other devices and think, oh, that's not really that much cheaper for just messages. But I think you've got to bring in the track. And if you're someone who's wanting something where one of your main purposes, of course, the peace of mind of the SOS, I think that's always going to be at the forefront. But you want friends and family to see you move across a map. You basically send it, you create a link in the account and send that to your friends and family who you want to use it. They'll see your movements from satellite. So if you're on a big trip, you're going away hiking on your own for a couple of weeks and you just want the peace of mind, they can see where you are. And yes, you have got the SOS, and it could be you do a check-in message in the morning, say, you know, yeah, this is where I am, I'm okay. And you agree with your family members that you'll also do a check-in message in the evening when you get your accommodation. And they know that you've got the SOS button if you need to summons help. I think it then is, you know, when you look at the monthly costs, and because they include the tracking, that's great. The other thing for me, you know, the battery life on it. I mean, all the units we sell that do this sort of function, they do have great battery. But I know a lot of customers like the fact you can put your own batteries in. It's AAA batteries, 4 AAA batteries. Comes with a set of lithium batteries, but on that one set of lithium batteries, we're getting weeks and weeks of tracking, you know. So the fact you can carry your own batteries and put your own batteries in.
Do you know, it's funny, on one of our Zoom meetings, I said to the guy, regards to batteries, I said, you know, well, I suppose I'll give the backstory. We use the Spot Gen 3, actually the previous model, for our walking holiday business. So yeah. Shepherd's Walks Holidays, which is one of our companies that we have, we never used to let solo walkers come on our walking holidays, just really the safety of that solo walker. But when the Spot Gen 3 came out, because it was so affordable and so easy to use, we actually got a number of these units and we loan them to solo walkers on our walking holidays. And the nice thing, I was just talking about Andy about this morning, the lovely thing about it, it's so easy to use, literally got 2 or 3 buttons you need to press and then the customer's away doing it. Now, the odd time we've loaned them another satellite communicator or tracker for when we've run out of Spot Gen 4, the paperwork is 2 or 3 pages of instructions, but with the Spot, it was literally, you know, it was half a page, dead easy to do. But I said to the guy, going back to my story, I said, pre-COVID, we used to start people off on their walking holidays. I remember giving the Spot to the customer and saying, all right, just press this button and off you go. And when I switched the unit on, the low battery light was flashing. Yeah. And this guy was just on a 4-day holiday. And I thought, oh, what do I do now? I thought, I won't say anything. No, it should be all right. But apparently the low battery light comes on at 25% battery life. And when you're looking at tracking as we are for every 60 minutes, when you've got 100% clear view of the sky, 52 days of battery life.
That's 24 hours. 24. Which you normally you turn it off in an evening.
You would do. So the guy still had 10, 12, 15 plus days of walking. And that just shows that even with the low battery light on, it's still got far better battery life than what any of his products at competitors in the marketplace.
I mean, for my walking and hiking, I normally have all my devices set to about 10 minutes tracking. So you look at the Spot Gen 4, 10 minute tracking, if you're using four AAA lithium batteries, you'll always get, you can use alkaline and rechargeable, but lithium will give you the best. So a 10 minute tracking with clear view with the sky, 17 days, but you've got to bear in mind that 17 days is based at 24 hours. Let's just say you're out 12 hours a day, you're going to double that to 34 days, you know. Now, fair enough, if you haven't got a clear view of the sky, it halves that. But I still look at, let's just say 50% of the time you haven't got a clear view of the sky and you go out for 12 hours a day, you're still potentially going to get that 17 days with a set of batteries, you know. So you go away for a couple of weeks, you don't have to worry. You're probably not even going to change batteries. So I think it's, yeah, it just go back to it's lightweight, it's portable, weighs next to nothing, it's waterproof. You put your own batteries in and it's simple button control. You press a button to start the tracking and you've got simple buttons to send your check-in messages. And of course the SOS button, which is protected by a rubber shield just to stop you accidentally pressing it. You're just holding it in to send that SOS message.
So really just dead simple, isn't it? That's all it is really.
And you don't get confirmation back. And I know some people worry about that. But the thing to do is when you get a unit, get the little shortcut guide. Maybe print yourself off the pages that tell you what the LEDs are doing. Learn what they do before you go on a trip. Laminate the page that has the LED button so you know when you've pressed it. Ah, if that LED button's flashing red, it means it hasn't got a signal and it's going to retry, move to somewhere where it's got a stronger satellite signal. Just learn what the LEDs do, but it will tell you with the LEDs to whether a message is being sent or not sent, you know. And I think like any of these things, try it. The fact that when you pay for it, the tracking doesn't cost you any more, practice the tracking. It's not like, oh, I'm going away next month, I don't want the tracking to start now. If you're paying the yearly amount rather than the flex plan where you're freezing it, even if you were doing the flex plan where you can freeze it and start it up, I'd always say you want to do it. You want to, when you buy something like this and you're doing a really big trip, you practice with it for a month. You know, I'm not saying a whole month, but you pay for a month prior to the trip and you go out and make sure your friends and family can, the tracking's working, practice sending some check-in messages, and then you get familiar with what the LEDs are doing and telling you on the screen of the unit. Sorry, on the LED display of the unit.
And it works alongside, so the people who are tracking you can see you on an app, so they can download an app and see exactly where you are on there. Alternatively, there's a public web page, which again, you can password protect or not, isn't it? And that public web page is really quite a nice visual web page for if you're doing a big expedition.
If you're doing a big event, you could share it with loads of people. And like you say, a password, or when you do another event, you change it. So that one's, you can actually set it in the parameters, only show what I've done the last 14 days. So when you come home, anyone else who's still got that web page isn't going to see anything new. So there's loads of parameters you can do there. But yeah, just simple. And then, you know, again, you look at it. I've started doing some guides on it and we'll start putting the videos together. You've got on it just the buttons all labelled. So again, you'd maybe print yourself off a little manual, but you've got a simple tick button for a check-in message. You've got a button for starting the tracking. You've got a button for sending what you call a custom message. So you've got the option of not just the check-in message. Again, you predefine these before you go. You've got the little rubber flap that covers the help message. That's not the SOS, but it's telling friends and family you do want them to come and get you, but it's not for mountain rescue or police, etc. And then finally, the little rubber flap that covers the SOS button. So just really, I think, again, just really simple. Not all the bells and whistles, but if you're just wanting something where you're not sending and receiving messages, you just SOS and have tracking and a check-in message, it does the job.
Brilliant. So some videos, so Annie's done an unboxing video. It's also a video looking at the contract. So we're recording this on the last day of April. And then on the 1st of May, the first of those videos comes out at 11:45. There's one then coming out the following day, which is the 2nd of May, looking at the contracts. I'm hoping to be out with it. Well, I'm not hoping. I will be out this weekend, out walking with it, and I'll do a walk and talk on it. I'm going to do it slightly different. I'm actually going to do it from the viewer's perspective. So I've encouraged my wife. She's going to do some screen grabs and things when I'm out walking. Because I think the key thing with this is you put it on your rucksack, you press the button, off you go. And it's more that reassurance of that person at home where you are. And then in an emergency, we've got the SOS button on there. So I'll send some preset messages so people see. But I'm quite keen to show the recipient's experience, because I think it's such a good experience with the spot. So just quick update, $139.99 for the products. We've currently, to the end of June, June got a 20% off the activation, 20% off the annual plans. Again, if you buy from GPS Training, we'll email those out to you, the code. And yeah, anything else, Andy, you want to add
just
to
gonna,
it?
Just a couple of the points for when you're buying this, if you are looking at it, just to make you aware. They talk about unlimited messages. When you set up, you can set up 10 slots. I would call it 10 slots rather than 10 contacts, because those slots can either be an email address or a mobile number. So if you have 5 people and you want 5 contacts to get the messages via email and SMS, so you type in their mobile number and that email address, that's 2 of those slots taken up for that one person. But when they talk about unlimited messages, that is just for email addresses. So we always think, if you know your friends and family have got more, you know, they go around with emails on their phone and on a mobile device, so they're not just getting emails on a computer, you're better off doing emails because they are unlimited for the year. But if you're sending the check-in messages, the help messages, the custom messages to SMS numbers, it is limited to 200 a year. So just bear that in mind. We do mention that in our frequently asked questions. So you can put in these 10 contact slots. The final one I've got asked off a few customers recently was, do you need a computer? Now, when you get the unit, like a lot of devices we sell, there may be software or firmware updates to add or improve features. They can only be put onto the unit using a computer. There's not an app that works with this. So really, you do need a computer with USB, and then you can update the firmware in your unit. And for you to set up how you want the tracking to work, the intervals and how that works, you need a computer to do that. The nice thing is, that's the only time we use the computer. Once you've logged into your account, which doesn't have to be on a computer, could be on a tablet, to change your messages and who they go to, that's done automatically. Because it's linked to your unit, they're not actually stored on your unit. So when you press the button and that signal goes to a server somewhere, the Spot server, it knows what your new messages and contacts are. But you do need a computer, really, so when you get the unit, just to check and upload any firmware updates and change the tracking intervals, that does need to be done from a computer and the USB cable connection.
Brilliant. To find out more, please go to our website, which is gpstraining.co.uk. Click on GPS Store on the top menu bar, then two-way satellite communication, and you will see the Spot Gen 4 there for a reduced price of £139.99. Next thing on this month's GPS Training podcast is the Garmin Backpack Tether. Has your cord frayed or not? This is a really interesting one. I've mentioned this a little bit on my YouTube films over the years, where I've had a number of people say, people don't know, backpack tether is an attachment that enables you to attach some of the smaller GPS units or mid-sized Garmin GPS units to your rucksack strap. And a few people have said, it's been getting frayed, e.g. the cord gets stuck underneath. Has this ever happened to you, Andy, or not?
I've got a slight fraying on the cord, but bear in mind I've used mine for years. I know what it's if when you pull the GPS away from your pack to look at the screen and put it back, if you get the cable a bit tangled up as you're putting it back and don't move it to the side, you can put the cord, onto the Velcro, and because the Velcro pulls at the fabric of the cord, it can fray the edges. Bear in mind I've used mine for years and it's got some slight, you know, it's going to show signs of use, but it's really being careful on how you put that cord back. And I think you're going to talk about this now. We found what side have you got it on can have an effect.
Yeah, it all came about this week, last week, when I had a customer email in, I'm not very happy, I bought this, I've used it once and it's frayed, etc. It's not fit for purpose. And I sat there, you often get these angry emails, and I kind of sat there going, why is this person, after one walk, got this frayed cord, when the great space, I've used it and Andy's used it for years.
Yes, I've had the same one for years.
And 1,000 miles is no exaggeration, and it's not. What are we doing differently that, you know, some customers differently? Again, you read the feedback of this product on our website, and there's a number of people very angry because actually it's fraying the cord. What is going on? So I ring up customers like this because there's no point. If the customer's angry, nothing better than ring them up, have a bit of a chat, and trying to understand what's happening. And in the conversation, I kind of thought, right, okay, he's wearing it on the right-hand side, where I'm wearing it on the left-hand side because I'm right-handed and naturally tend to stick it.
I wear mine on the left-hand
side. I said to Andy, where are you carrying yours? And when you look at the backpack tether, the cord comes out on the right-hand side. So I kind of thought, I wonder if this is a reason why customers are getting afraid. E.g., if the cord is coming out on the side, I think it should come out on the bottom, but it is coming out on the side, and it's going out, and that's the inside when you're sticking it on your rucksack strap. Is this why it's getting caught? So I put a bit of a piece together for last week's newsletter and fired it off. I wasn't here on Friday, and there was quite a lot of people came back. There was a lot of replies. I wasn't here on Friday, and I actually came into work on Saturday, and went, I need to compile this, because our customer management software was just bunged under with all these emails coming back from people. And the three questions were, which rucksack strap are you carrying on? Have you found the cord as frayed? And any other comments or feedback? So out of the answers we got, quarter of the people wore it on the right-hand side, which we perceive would be the wrong side, and three-quarter people wore it on the left-hand side. Now, actually, people were saying, well, actually, I'm left-handed, so it's logical I have it on the right-hand side. Yes, okay, take that on board. But then these are the following figures. So 86% of people who had it on the right-hand side, which is the opposite side of myself and Andy, found the cord frayed, and 56% of people who had it on the left-hand side found the cord frayed. So it's still a high percentage. I think with this as well, when you ask someone a question in a newsletter, have you had any problems, you tend to encourage the problem people to reply. That's just naturally what happens. If you,
there's definitely less people when they put it on the left getting it frayed.
So we're significantly, you know, we are 30% down, as Andy Riley says. 30% less people, just less than a third of people less by putting it on the left rucksack strap, experience the frayed. Now, I've got all sorts of things. Andy's done a really good video on YouTube many years ago where you replaced the cord with some paracord. We had a customer who sent some paracord, and you did a video of how to replace that. A number of people round the top where it has put electrical tape around it.
And
really, a lady actually emailed this in the last couple of days. She said, well, actually, all you need to do is just drop your GPS, make sure it's unwrapped, and then stick it on in a clean manner, and just be a little bit more careful when you're putting it on. And she's had it for many years and not found it frayed. So it's quite interesting with it. I don't know, any of your thoughts, Andy?
I mean, we're not Garmin, and we get a lot of the flack. And I'll tell you why we love the product and what it's great for. But yeah, it could be made better. I've fed back this to Garmin before on the feedback forms, never heard anything back. That's all you can do. Just remember, we don't make the product. It's a Garmin product. It's there for a reason and does a great job. But yeah, I'm the same as you. The electrician's tape seems to be so straightforward. I've got a roller. I'm not an electrician, but I do have some electrician's tape at home that I use for various things on my bike. So actually, just a simple bit of electrician's tape, wrap it round the bit that's going to come in touch potentially with the Velcro if you're not careful, and that solves the problem. And, you know, when you're thinking what me and John talking about this backpack tether, we always say any of the handheld units, the compact ones, so like the eTrexers and the GPS map series, the Oregons, that you can use it with, it means your unit's always there. You're not got it tucked away in a pocket. It's getting a full satellite signal because it's not found its way at the bottom of your rucksack. If you've got a barometric altimeter on your unit, that never works great if it's stuffed in a rucksack or in a pocket. So again, it means that's going to perform better. Your units are all waterproof, and it stops you doing what I've done before when I don't use the backpack tether. I stop for lunch with my friend. I'm too busy talking. Put my GPS down on the ground, and we walk away. 10 minutes down the road, I've left my GPS, expensive GPS, and I have to run back and get it because it's on the bit of cord. So it means you've got your GPS where you need it to hand. It's waterproof anyway. Getting a full signal. Barometric altimeter is going to be better. So it's a great product. Yeah, the cord could be better, but there's some solutions. Try it on the left-hand side if you can. And a bit of electrician's tape to me would be the easy thing. Just wrap a little bit around.
So I was thinking out loud now, actually. If anybody's been on a GPS training course with us, you'll see when we go walking, Andy and I use the same rucksack we have. We have our first aid kit in and yellow vest on and things. That's actually our backpack tether on it. And both Andy and myself have got similar GPS units. And I use it on the course. I think you must do.
I use it all the time. And because I'm handling customers. Yeah, it's the quick way of putting my unit away. And because I've done it before on courses, I put a unit down and I'm too busy talking to the customers about their units and I walk away. So knowing that it's always on the backpack tether, I'm not going to leave it on the ground.
And I must think, actually, during a course, when Andy and I are teaching people, we're looking at our own units, we're on and off like yo-yos, onto that backpack tether. And again, that must have been there for 5, 6, 7 years, I would have think.
I mean, we're not saying it doesn't fray. We know what people are saying, and it can't happen. All we're saying is when we've had it on the left-hand side, and we're trying to be careful, I suppose, because we know about it. It's got some little fray marks on, but bear in mind we've had that same one for years, you know. But I still take on board what customers are saying, and I think get a little bit of electrician's tape, wrap it around, send Garmin some feedback and let them know. I've done it before, and I can only be honest, they've not come back. I've never had anything back. They've not changed the design of it. Maybe if enough people say to Garmin, can you change the cord to something more robust? Might mean they put the price up of the unit, of the accessory, but that's all it needs. But if we've got fixes that we can do ourselves, let's just do it, because it is a great accessory to stop you leaving your unit behind and having your unit always to hand.
It's been brilliant. So I really appreciate everybody, all their feedback. I say that came from our newsletter. I collated all that. It's going to go in this week's newsletter. You're hearing this at the start of the month. It'll be on Friday's newsletter. You all the facts and figures. Still getting a couple of answers every day. So really appreciate it. Some people sent great pictures of how they've moved the hole to the bottom of the backpack tether and drilled holes on it. And people with a paracord and all sorts of things. So I really appreciate people taking the time and the patience to send us those pictures. And it's been really quite great to engage you guys and see what your thoughts are on it, and how potentially we can improve it. If you want to know more about the backpack tether, just go to our website, which is gpstraining.co.uk. Click on accessories, and you'll see it's actually top of the list, because the website ranks them in the best seller. And believe it or not, it's one of our best, well, it is our best selling accessory. Next thing on this month's GPS training podcast is just a quick update about the free OS planner. And many thanks to a number of people. Just a quick thank you to a number of people. People don't know the OS Planner, Andy, is
on our homepage of the www.gpstraining.co.uk website. There's a menu that says OS Planner. What we're giving you for free, doesn't cost us a lot of money to put on our website, but you guys get it for free, is the ability to go onto the OS Planner. You need to be on the internet. It's not a program you download to your computer. As soon as you open it, that page up, you'll see a map of Rothbury. An ordnance survey 1 to 50 map. You can zoom in on the map and it changes to a 1 to 25 map. We've given you access to ordnance survey 1 to 25 maps, or 1 to 50 when you zoom out, for the whole of Great Britain. And you can simply click on that map and click create a simple route. Little route box tells you the distance in kilometres and feet. Gives you the Naismith rule of estimated distance. Very simple elevation graph. You download the GPX file of the route to your unit. Dead simple when you're planning. Lots of videos there showing you how you, if you make a mistake, it's just very simple to edit. It doesn't have loads of fancy features, but it does what we need, as in plan a route on an ordnance survey map, across some footpaths, download a file, look at the distances and elevation data, and simply copy it into your compatible GPS device, whether it be a Garmin, a 2Nav, or a Coros watch, or a Garmin watch. And that's it, you know, for just free ordnance survey maps on a computer. You can't print off it. You know, you're not physically putting it onto your computer, but it's simple and easy to use.
And there's some really good training videos. So if you've never used it, go to our website and have a look at OS Planner on the top menu bar. The OS Planner at the top, it's actually embedded within the web page. And Andy's done some really good training videos of how you use it and then how you transfer that to Garmin's, Satnaps, Satmaps, phones, Chorus.
I mean, what we've done, I know with the 2Nav, if you bought a 2Nav GPS from us, I've actually got it embedded in the online resource videos that you get when you purchase a 2Nav device from us. They're not actually on the homepage, but if you buy a 2Nav device from us, you get access to those videos. But certainly, you'll see the principle anyway. It's basically copying a GPX file into the correct folder on your relevant device. It's just an uncomplicated, easy to use planner that has maps that will get updated during the year from the company that put it on our website. They'll get updates on OS. I don't know how often it is, but it's going to be more updated than possibly a
physical
map. It's
actually streamed off the OS server, believe it or not. It's streamed off the OS server because it's plugged into the OS server and it's got the live data off there. And because we actually pay by how much data is streamed, so I actually can log into the OS and see how much data. We have to sign up for a commercial account with them, and we can see how much data has been streamed. So it's coming off.
So they make changes. Yeah, gets updated,
exactly right. Yeah. So any change to the OS, we get updated literally instantaneously. So anyway, what this bit of a piece is about is thank you so much. We've had it a number of years now, the OS Planner. I think we're into our fourth year of it now, and a number of you, it's become a big part of your walking experience. So you've used it for a number of years, you've planned your walks on it. And again, on Friday, I know Andy had a customer, and we've had another few in the past, who said, really appreciate it, can we donate something to say a little bit of a thank you for the OS Planner? Because again, it's free to you, the customer. And I actually did a FAQs video just recently explaining the frequently asked questions we get asked in regards to the free Ordnance Survey route planning software. And under that, there was a thanks button. And I know that gentleman and I knew a few other in the past have just pressed thanks button, and you can just donate a small amount of money, you know, £5, £10, whatever you want, and say a bit of a thank you. So I just thought I'll flag that up with people. I'll put that link into the show notes of the podcast. So if you are enjoying the free route planning software, I'll link also the FAQs, which is the video I did answering the key questions about it, and there is that link there below the video if you want to have a donate a small amount of money, which always helps in our party, because as Andy will tell you, I'm not the only boss within this business. I have to convince other parties of the board to keep funding going forward on the survey route planning software, and if I can show that you guys are really appreciative of it and donating a small amount of money towards it, it helps me fight the corner to keep this going forward. So if you've not had a look at the free online survey route planning software, please do. It's gpstraining.co.uk and then OS Planner on the top menu bar. Next thing on this month's GPS Training podcast is Andy's top tips. So we've got a Garmin top tip and a Chorus top tip, Andy. So your Garmin top tip relates to the topo active mapping, I believe.
So recently, Garmin updated the topo active Europe maps that a lot of you will be aware you get included for free on certain models of GPS. If you buy a Garmin eTrex 22, 32X, GPS map 67, 67i, or any of the Montana 700 range from us, that's the current models. I know there's some older models also have these maps. They come free with Garmin's topo active maps that cover all of Europe. Over the years, Garmin will do free updates for these maps. The more and more updates they do, to be honest, the more detailed and the better looking the maps are getting. I notice more countries now have more contour lines, extra trails, extra bits of information. The only thing with the updates is, because it now takes up a lot more memory on the units, not all of your units have enough memory to put the whole of Europe on. So it's really just some general sort of advice and tips if you are updating your maps to the latest version. We do put information out with units, but surprisingly, I still get, it's one of my biggest calls is, I've cocked up my maps, they failed, they haven't loaded, what have I done wrong? Even though I do mention this a lot on our sort of paperwork and that, so I thought it was nice just to run through a few tips that are going to stop you having problems. So the reason we've done this is very recently Garmin updated the maps to the latest version, which if you got it on your unit, it's the 2024-10. And with the latest updates, your maps are split into three regions. If you've got a unit with enough memory to put it on the internal storage, which currently is just the GPS map 67, 67i, or the standard Montana 700, not the i versions, is enough memory for the whole internal storage of your unit to have, you'll end up with Central, East and West Europe will be the three regions, topo active 2024. So how do you do these updates and what are the things you've got to be careful with? So the main way to do the updates on all of the units would be on a computer using a piece of software called Garmin Express. The biggest problem I have is Garmin Express, on depending on your unit, can take anything from an hour to a few hours to update the maps. Most modern computers, not, it always used to be Macs, but I now find Windows, have a setting in the power save or battery settings that put your computer to sleep after a short period. A lot of customers go, oh no, it's not that, it's just the screen going to sleep. It's not your screen saver. If you start looking into settings on your computer, and I've had this from customers who've called me to say the update's failed and it now won't let them put the maps back on, I dial into their computer and I show them their power settings and the computer says, after 30 minutes, put computer to sleep. And what that does is it ejects the USB drive, ejects the USB device, so the update then fails. So the first thing is, use Garmin Express if you've got a computer. Make sure your computer's power settings do not put your computer to sleep. Search power, search your battery settings. Make sure you've got your computer set when turned on. Just put do not go to sleep, never. Doesn't matter about the screen going off, but not the computer going to sleep. That's the first tip. Second one is, while you're doing the updates, don't stop opening Basecamp software, because if you're updating maps using Garmin Express that's reading your unit and it's trying to put new maps on, and then suddenly you open Garmin Basecamp, which is now trying to read maps that haven't been updated, it can stop the download and cause problems. So just leave Garmin Express open. Don't knock your device. Make sure it's got a good USB connection. The second tip relates to not all of the units have enough memory. So when you are doing the update, if you get a message saying not enough memory on your unit, if you've bought your unit with an Ordnance Survey map card from us and you want to leave that map card in, you're not going to be able to put all of Europe on. So if you've got something like an eTrex 2232 or the Montana I versions that also have City Navigator, you have to then use something called, you're prompted to go to Map Manager in Garmin Express and then tick and untick the regions that you want. So you can say topo active, change region. Well, actually, for the trips I'm doing the next couple of months, I only want Western Europe, or I want Central or East. You can't pick two out of the three regions, unfortunately. Again, feedback that back to Garmin would be great, because it would be nice if you could. But you pick one of the three regions, and then you can say, I don't want City Navigator, or I do. And again, pick the region you want. And then there's enough internal storage. The final thing would be, if you are using your device and you don't have a map card in the back of it, you're not using OS Maps, you could purchase a micro SD card, as long as it's no bigger than 32 gig, because a 64 gig won't work. If you put a 32 or a 62 gig in, you can then say update all of Europe, and Garmin Express will say, oh, you've got a micro card, do you want to install on the micro card? But you can only really do that if you're not using an OS map card in your unit. One final thing, if you're looking at online course videos, with the GPS Map 67 series, it's the only one we've got, you can actually update the maps via Wi-Fi. So if you don't own a computer, the 67 and GPS Map 67i, look at the videos on the online course where we say update maps via Wi-Fi, so you can actually use Wi-Fi to update the maps on that unit.
For instance, quickly summarise, to update the topoactive mapping on a relevant unit, use Garmin Express. Make sure that your computer is not going to go to sleep. As Andy said, go in there, check that your sleep settings are switched off so your computer stays on during the update. During the update, don't be tempted to go and open up Garmin Basecamp and try and read those maps and damage them. If your GPS unit has not got enough memory for all the regions, you can just choose one of the three regions, or alternatively, you can put on a micro SD card, but you potentially have to take your Ordnance Survey map card out to do that. So those are really great four top tips there if you're thinking about updating the topoactive mapping on one of those relevant units. Andy's next top tip is relating to Chorus watches.
Yeah. So we sell a range of, Chorus do a range of watches, should I say, and we stock what we think are the two most popular mid-priced Chorus watches, which is the Apex 2 and the Apex 2 Pro. The Apex 2 Pro, the latter one, slightly higher cost, but has the bigger battery and the dual frequency added, otherwise slightly bigger watch, otherwise basically the same watches. The reason I've done this tip, I just thought it was nice. We got some feedback earlier in the year, and it just got me thinking, because me and John are doing the Montane Spine, one of the Montane Spine races each in the summer, and it was a customer who left a lovely review. I was just going through reviews on my site about the Chorus Apex 2 Pro watch that they bought from us for their Winter Spine Challenger South, which is 108 miles up the Pennine Way. And I'm not going to read out the whole review, but basically the review started with, I started my Montane Spine Challenger South 108 miles. Bear in mind, this was the winter as well and cold on the Saturday morning. So it would have been an 8 a.m. start for the Montane Spine. They finished Monday morning. I'm not sure what time on Monday morning, but unbelievably, they still had 60% battery in their watch, and they used the watch for the navigation and recording. Now, I know the person who put this review, I have spoke to them, and they said there was lots of other people doing the same event, were having to charge their watches at the checkpoints. Now, the person who got the watch from us did ring me before the event and ask me, is there some things I can turn off that I don't necessarily need? Now, I think they've found now that if they hadn't turned off some of these things, they would have still lasted the full 50-odd hours that they did. But I thought it was nice just with me and John having the Montane Spines coming up this summer, anyone looking for a watch, a lightweight watch with colour screen, sapphire screen, good GPS accuracy, mid-priced, where you can get great battery for doing these events, what are some of the tips that you can do to really get the best out of the battery? So if you've already got a Coros watch from us, here's some of the tips. So the Apex 2 will do 40 hours with GPS and QZSS, and the Apex 2 Pro, it's increased to 66 hours. If we want to just eke out potentially a little bit more or just make sure we're achieving those figures, here's some of the battery save tips that we can do. So the first one we always look at, all manufacturers, including Garmin and other makes a product, will always quote battery life when you're using not every single GPS system, but GPS only. So Coros is no different. But in your watch, you do have settings under the satellite settings where you can set the unit to be all satellites, or in the case of the Apex 2 Pro, all satellites and dual frequency. Now, if you're not needing your watch to go 40 hours or 66 hours, great. Those settings potentially improve your accuracy in more challenging environments when you've got steep cliffs, you're in a ravine. But when you're doing a big ultra event, something like the Montane Spine, where really, I'm not saying the event's not challenging, but we're not stuck in deep ravines and necessarily going through deep, thick forest. As the person who wrote this review told us after the event, they had it set as GPS only, the GPS and QZSS, and they didn't have any issues with signal. So I would just say if you're doing that type of event where you don't need all the satellites, you're not in deep ravines, just check in your settings on your Coros watch that you've set it to GPS only and not the old satellites or dual band. That's the first thing. The second one is, in your toolbox settings, in your settings, you've got a setting for gesture, which is basically when you lift your wrist, the backlight comes on and then it goes off after so many seconds. You're better off really just turning off gesture control. That's going to save battery. It does have a really good setting in the main menu of the Coros called nighttime. And if you turn nighttime on for these sort of events, when you're going 24/7, it just means during the night, it's just got a dim backlight that's enough to see with your head torch, rather than having to press a button for it to keep coming on every time you want to view it. So having the nighttime setting. And the final couple I'm going to mention, in the settings on your device, on the Coros watches, you've got sensors and then what we call optical heart rate, optical HR. So that's the heart rate monitor. It's got it set normally daily every 10 minutes, but when you're doing an activity, it's normally turned on. Now, I'm going to be honest, our customer said to me, I don't really need my heart rate. I'm not worried about looking at heart rate and that fitness information. It was great when I was training for the event, but when I'm actually doing the event, I just really want to make sure I'm going to get that 60 hours battery. So they went into the settings, sensors, optical HR, and turned it off for the activity. Now, since I've talked to them after the event, they're pretty sure if they'd left the heart rate on, they would have still got the 60 hours they needed. But it's just a tip, if you're not needing the heart rate on in an activity, turn it off. And the final one, I did say that was the final one, so my apologies. The final one, in your main settings, if you've got the new firmwares that's just come out recently, it has got a setting called stress control, which I haven't even written down. Sorry, stress tracking. The stress tracking, if you don't need that and you're not worried about reading what it thinks your stress levels are, you can turn that off as well. So yes, it sounds like we're turning loads of things off, but the main one for me is putting it at GPS only if you're not in that more challenging environment, not having the gesture control on, and do you need the optical heart rate on for the activity recording? Yes, when you're doing training, you want to see your heart rate, but potentially when you're doing an event, if you turn that off, it's really going to eke out that battery if you do need that extra battery.
Brilliant. So yeah, if you think about ultra events or long events, yeah, take a look at the Coros watch, and Andy's taking you through the key settings that you can switch off, which will improve the battery life even more. But as he's rightly saying, does it really need, because it's got such good battery life anyway, doesn't it?
I hadn't realised the fit, you know, I thought, I remember talking to the customer after the event and congratulating them and said, I still had loads of battery left, but I'm reading it again and thinking, they did 108 miles in the winter. They were following the route, so the route had route navigation on, they were recording the route, And after that 108 miles, now I should know their exact time, so apologies to the customer who I haven't got your exact time, but I know they finished sometime Monday morning, so they would have been going for a good 40-50 hours. They're basically telling me that they still had 60% battery left. And actually, when you read the review, they even talk about a few days later still not having to charge it. Now, I think the big thing there was because they turned off the heart rate and they had it as GPS only. They found that was accurate enough for the Montane Spine event that they did in January.
Very good. Brilliant. So if you have any more top tip videos and learn how to use your outdoor GPS unit or GPS watch, please go to the online resource. If you go to the website, which is gpstraining.co.uk, and click on online resource on that top menu bar. And finally, many thanks for listening to this month's GPS Training Podcast. If there's anything you would like to cover in future episodes, please do get in touch. And if you are thinking about buying an outdoor GPS unit or a GPS watch, please also get in touch and we can help you in whichever way we can. Don't forget, we do both nationwide GPS training courses around the UK, and also we have the online resource, our online training platform. Plus, we also can do one-to-ones over Zoom for those who've got a specific subject or want to get to grips with it. If you can encourage your friends to download or sign up to the GPS Training Podcast, that is always massively appreciated. So, Andy, have you got much lined up for the coming few weeks? You need to be winding down 6 weeks on Saturday to go before the event.
I think me and you are both off to study Celtic salt drinks.
Celtic salt drinks.
John's advised me that I need to be drinking water with Celtic salt before the Montane Spine event
Celtic
we're doing
salt.
In June. So I'm going to study what nutrition I need to be doing over the next 6 or 7 weeks before the Montane Spine, and just continue, like you say, with the training and running, walking, cycling, HIIT classes, and Celtic salt. I'm sure other brands of salt are available.
Oh, Celtic is the there's Himalayan salt as well, which is as pure. But Celtic salt is if you look at the reviews, that's what everybody seems to be going for, because you're going to lose so much salt as you sweat during that event. You need to get yourself preloaded with it, and just go onto YouTube and put it in, Andy. You'll get bamboozled by it.
Beetroot juice with Celtic salt. That's what I'm off to study.
So my wife, when I got some Celtic salt, my wife was joking, because when you were younger and you had your teeth out, you used to wash your mouth with salt and water, didn't you? It was horrendous. So I said, what do I do with this Celtic salt? I said, well, I'm going to put on your food, but it's quite rocky.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm going to put some in water and spill it around. It's like second match, like when you were 6 or 7 and you had your teeth out, your parents would make you going, boy, that tastes no better, you know.
You might laugh. When I first come into the office the other day, when John said, Celtic salt's what you need for your Montane training. And I said, all right. Is that to put in the bath? Because after I've done an event and I've got aching muscles, I use Epsom salt. So I thought this was something for the bath, yep, not to drink. But yeah, I'm off to study all about Celtic salt.
Fantastic. So as always, Andy, thank you for joining myself on this month's GPS Training Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the GPS Training Podcast, the monthly podcast keeping you up to date with everything in the world of outdoor GPS navigation.